Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Wigfield is the name of a lady with Danish origins who made a mark in the history of pop dance music by selling millions worldwide. In 1994, she gained a place in the Guinness Book of Records with the song Saturday Night. As the first artist to go straight to number one in the UK singles chart with a debut single, selling over a million copies. Saturday Night was the second biggest selling single in the UK in 1994. In that same year, the song went to number one in Spain, in the Eurochart Hot 100, Germany and Italy, as well as numerous other territories. The song went platinum in Germany and UK, gold in Canada and Scandinavia. The following singles, Another Day and Think of You, went top 10 in the UK and in various other countries, while Sexy Eyes was number one in Australia and went platinum and top 20 in Germany, Switzerland and Austria. The first album, Wigfield 1, went gold in Canada, Philippines, India, and platinum in South Africa. Gimme Gimme from her second album went top 20 in Australia. Her discography is extremely impressive, including numerous hit singles all over the world and five studio albums, a career spanning over a decade, which for a pop dance act is extremely unusual. After many years on the stage, Wigfield decided to concentrate on the other side of the music industry, writing, composing, and producing for other artists in the business. Both DJs and singers with names such as the Grammy Award winner Benny Benassi, Benny Benassi Bros, Ann Lee and Ingrid, and so on. Wigfield also recorded some house projects under the name of Sunny with Armada Music from 2017 to 2021. The three singles, How Long, In the Morning, and Boys on Girls, reached the number one position in the UK charts. She's now back on tour around the world. I saw Wigfield perform at the 100% Retro Music Festival in Pretoria, South Africa in January of 2025. Her performance inspired and motivated me to get in touch with her team to organize the interview. So up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Wigfield. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am sitting in a sunny, beautiful day outside Milan in the countryside in my bed.
Oh, lovely. So you live in Italy now?
Yeah, I've been living here since... Well, I moved to Italy before my career started. And I had a time that I stayed like 10 years in Barcelona and then I moved back.
Why was the name, or where does the choice of the name Wigfield come from?
That was my producer. Okay. So we had a meeting and, you know, things was like not really moving, but kind of like I was getting small things, small gigs and stuff. And I said, what about, you know, something silly, you know, something people can remember. And then, you know, we're just talking about names and stuff. And I've been doing music school ever since I was quite small, actually, when I lived in Africa and Denmark and stuff. So I had this teacher and her last name was Wigfield. And he said, well, that sounds amazing.
Oh, wow. That's such an interesting story. I love that. You said you've been in music school and entertainment school since you were a child. So obviously the bug was caught as a young person. How did that transition of being in the musical school and being educated in that way transition to become a professional?
It came from, I'm from a very, I have a very musical background. Like everybody in my family plays an instrument. My grandfather built violins. He actually built me a violin when I was four.
Oh, wow.
And a piano teacher. And I've always had music, apart from music, always in the radio. So I think it was kind of like within me. And I was a melodist ever since I was a child. I became a producer when I was 10. Listen. So I would have this transistor radio and with a cassette inside. And I would listen to hit songs. And then when the chorus line came up, I would just record on top of it and do my own chorus. Yeah, so, and I've always like changed melodies of songs. So I think maybe I was more on the creative side of that, which is how I actually ended up now. So it's been, you know, in and out.
Okay, so you said that you had a few gigs and things were happening slowly, and then you took on the name Wigfield. How long after taking that name did things start to catapult?
People think it was like an overnight sensation, which is so not true. We did the brand in 92, and so that tells you how long it actually took. I was lucky enough to have this a Spanish DJ called Fernandisco. He was playing every Saturday night at this Spanish radio called Los 40 Principales, which is still one of the big radios in Spain. And he had a show called World Dance Music, and he would play Saturday night, every single Saturday night. And that's how, you know, slowly it came out. And then who knows? I have no clue who did the dance.
Okay.
You know, nobody knows, but every time that song came on, people would do the dance in clubs, everywhere. So it moved on and went to number one, 11 or 14, no, yeah, 14 weeks in Spain. But, you know, it's like I was doing a lot of radio. I did a lot of club gigs, but I was still like in the, it wasn't like, you know what, it was still like, how do I do this? How do I deal with this? How do I, you know, because there's a lot of stuff going on that people don't actually know. With the one thing is the preparation or songwriting or doing other stuff. And then you have to also be promoting. You have to do photos. You have to do stage, whatever. And it's not, it's like from one second to the other, you just wake up, you know?
Yes. We don't know a lot of this stuff. So, and you also referenced that you weren't sure about a lot of the things. So what was the thing that surprised you the most that you didn't realize was part of the process?
My music preference growing up, I'm not going to say it was very melodic, because I would listen to what my parents would listen to, like, you know, ABBA, Boney M, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when I got into my late 19, 20 years old, I was listening a lot to music from America, Luther Vandross and stuff like that. So when Larry showed me his different projects, because he'd been doing like other artists, it was very Eurodancey. And I didn't feel like I was very Euro, like it wasn't really. So like Saturday night for me was very, very far away from what I thought. But when I saw what it did to people, because you have to remember, a lot of people bought the song, liked the song. I had a lot of haters too. I'm so happy there were no internet in those days, because all the haters were 50-50 with the lovers.
Yeah. So how did you deal with that?
I would drink.
Okay.
When you're older, you kind of deal with those things in a different way. You just kind of like brush it off. But when you're young, you seek everybody's approval.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a very dangerous place to be. You need a lot of support for that. But I had 160 different labels when everything just exploded. Like I had independent labels around the world. So it was very messy. It was photo shoots for different things, promoting three different singles in three parts of the world at the same time. So it was a bit, I didn't feel like, I think I would have preferred to be in a group, you know, like the Spice Girls.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys for the hard work that you do. I love the listening from song one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware, you may or may not be, that physicals are in a massive comeback. Last year, the year before, there were 5.9 million vinyls sold in the UK, the biggest since 1990.
I know.
Last year, also in the UK, there's a basket of products that gauge for exchange purposes for some other tax reasons. And because of the upsurge on CDs again, the CDs are back in the baskets. And now the research is showing that it's actually the teenagers, the younger kids that are diving into this world, and not the older nostalgic people. And then we have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Well, ever since the beginning, I wouldn't say it was like death of record sales or whatever it was, but listening to music on, for example, Spotify, it's kind of having sex without the orgasm.
I love that. Yes.
It's, you know, it's like everything now is so quick, in and out. You don't get to the physical copy of anything. If you buy a book, if you sit and read it on Kindle, it's not the same thing as when you have it and you can look at that book that you've read. Mm-hmm. It's the experience that I think maybe kids are missing. So I think we did that when I was younger. I would go into like even like try on some clothes from when my parents were young or stuff like that. And I think maybe kids, they are feeling a little bit of this. There's no people not connected anymore.
People might disagree with me. I don't believe social media is connection.
No. I mean, my social media, of course, if I feel like posting something, I will. If I don't, for a while, I will not be posting. I'll be posting about concerts.
Yeah.
In stories, or I will from gigs or whatever. But I'm not, even like my personal Facebook, I don't give a shit about what my friends are doing, because to sit all day and see everything's going great in everybody's lives, you know, and then you call them up and they're actually depressed.
Exactly. I'm totally on the same page with you. So what motivates you to keep getting up on stage and performing?
Money.
Okay.
Listen, I mean, people can say, oh, because I love my art and this and this, and it's so amazing. Of course it's amazing. It's not like you're going to work in a factory. You are actually having this amazing life where you just get to stand on stage and see all these amazing people that sometimes you have three generations of people within one crowd. And of course, it's for money as well, because the money will. I'm producing a new show, by the way, and I have some new music, you know, and all these things. Unless you are with Warner Music and they give you a lot of money, then I've been producing myself for many years. I did a house music project and I got signed with Armada. I thought it was really cool, but money was like this, because you're literally. Like, if they have their number one artist, you are not even in the basement. You are within the ground.
Yes. You've referenced that you're creating new music, you're producing things. So at what point did you think, okay, you want to just be behind the scenes for the moment? And then what was the point that you thought, okay, I want to go back in front of the scene?
There are two very important moments that happened there. Like, when everything stopped, was in year 2000, because I was pregnant and I called up my manager and I said, I think now he's the manager of Benny Benassi as well. And I said, look, this is the situation, whatever. And then unfortunately I gave birth early and my daughter died after 2 days.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I went back to Barcelona. I called my manager and I said, back to work. So I started touring a little bit, but I was like, because, you know, you're in such a gray area and everything is just like a one big no. And I said, I need to get my feelings out in a different way. So I called I think I was in Italy. I had to shoot a video and I was talking to my producer and he said, listen, let me send you down some music, you know, and let's see what's. And he would send me a song and I would have written it within 4 hours and I would send it back and he would go, what? And he actually sent it to my manager and he said, do you know who wrote this? And he said, this Sammy wrote this. And he goes, oh my God. So I just started writing music for other artists and I was in the second album of Benny Benassi where I did a few tracks there. I sang one in South Africa as well, Rocket in the Sky.
Yes, it is.
So I just started doing that and I would write songs day and night. I had the studio also in my house, so I could sit there. Then I met someone and I moved to Milan, and I don't know, something different started. So I was in a different crowd, and I met, I don't know if you remember Planet Funk.
Yes.
The song Chase the Sun.
Yes, 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 yes.
So they are buddies with my current boyfriend. So I ended up in studio with them in London, and Gigi from Planet Funk started writing together and did like a whole house music project. And I released it on the white label, and it went number one in the dance charts.
Oh wow.
This was during lockdown.
Okay.
All the clubs were closed. And then I released it with my name after that, and it still went number one in the dance charts in the UK. So I was pretty happy with that.
That's fantastic. So are you still currently writing songs for others and yourself, or are you focusing on yourself now?
I've had a few requests from other artists to do collaborations, but because I'm quite a lazy person nowadays,
yes,
I'm still thinking, should I finish my show, do my single, find a label maybe, or not find a label, do this collab, what could that do to me? Like, what's the point of doing that? Or should I do this one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. The show that you reference, can you tell us anything about it, or is it all hush-hush?
I can tell you a little bit.
Okay, cool.
The most important part of the show for me, apart from the music, is the visuals. And I'm trying to study an AI situation.
Mm-hmm.
To get something really amazing together behind me, because I'm not the artist that brings dancers, because I think that's so 90s.
Okay. Yes.
Like, yeah, but you know, save the money for the organizers and the hotel and flights and food and everything, and just have me, but something crazy going on in the back. But I'm still figuring out the costs.
Okay. So for the listeners, I saw Wakefield in January of this year, 2025, at 100% Retro. Why do you feel that there's this nostalgia, especially, you know, even with the younger people, not only the people that lived through it, but the people who were born in the last 20 years, for shows of the 80s and 90s, that they're loving it and going to it? What is that thing that's bringing them to this type of music from those decades?
The only thing I can say is what comes to mind is when I was 6 years old, if my dad would say there's an ABBA concert, I wasn't born with ABBA. They were.
Okay.
Or Boney M or whatever it is. I would go with them and I would know all the songs. Now, like I did last summer, I did a festival in Scotland, and I looked out and I had this little boy, tiny boy, on the shoulders of his dad, and he was singing every single lyric to myself. I was like, what? Get out of here. And I think it's the same thing. It's about the melodies. And I think maybe, you know, when you've heard, it's like when you watch an ad in television and it's just on and on and on. At the end of the day, you know the words to the song.
Absolutely.
And maybe they don't even like the music. They just remember the, the ad. But it's great party music. It's great get-together music. And it's music it's not pretentious.
Mm.
It's the lyrics are not difficult.
Yeah.
It's just, let's be silly, wear some silly clothes and have fun.
Exactly. And in fact, I remember there was a young girl, I think she was about 7 or 8, standing next to me at the concert.
The blonde one.
Yes, exactly. Yes. She was standing right next to me and you were holding the microphone. And I was like, I was like, it was nice to see the different generations.
I remember her.
Yes. And now tell me, what do you enjoy about being on the lineup, like a festival, like 100% Retro, one of these things? What does that appeal for you?
Some lineups are different. Some shows are different. Like, I think maybe the lineup from January could have been bigger. That's my feeling.
Yes.
You know, I felt it was strange that I performed in between two DJs, because normally I need to go on before the DJ But Sash was very kind. He said, don't worry, Sunny. I'm going to go down. I'm not going to go hard.
I understand what you're saying. Yes, the same thing
with the music in the show. It has to have like an up and a down, an up and a down.
Yes.
And the same thing with the show, with the artists you put together. It has to be like flowy. So Sash was very kind. Thank you, Sash. to just start playing down a little bit before I came, because you can't have like that's like crazy house.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's about that energy and that flow of the music. I love this game. I know if I had to ask this question in 5 minutes, 10 years, 2 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs once we finish this conversation, and if you can't think of specific songs, just 5 artists, who would those artists be? And if you can think of songs, what would the songs be?
Planet Funk Chase the Sun is one of my best. And Planet Funk Inside All the People, because I love that track. Till the Morning After by Alexander O'Neill, because okay. I used to listen to that when I was younger. TLC.
Waterfall. Yes.
And I never remember the song. Oh, Donnell Jones. What's it called? Anyway.
A Donnell Jones song. Yeah. We'll let the audience Google that one. That's fine.
Yeah.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Stop the fighting.
Yeah.
Okay. My message is to the younger generation, you know, we didn't have phones or internet, all these things, but now that you have them, it's a luxury. I have them, but I use them. They have a purpose to me. I use it in the right way. If I can't sleep, I'll listen to a podcast about not sleeping.
Yes.
You know, use it for some or learn something from it. The first thing I would say, my only advice would be cut out negative people from your life, even if it's family members.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
Like, keep nice people around you, always, and life will be so much easier.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.